Okay, well, the man who needs no introduction, I suppose we'll give him an introduction. You know, was just thinking when we were singing, Mikkel, Mike, and I just got back from Myrtle Beach Men's Retreat, and they're very adamant that it's a retreat, so I've been calling it men's camp, but I suppose I got to call it a retreat. You know, I'm sorry, I like to move forward. I don't know about you guys, okay? Hey, just share a quick thought here. You know, met a lot of new people, a lot of people from Eastern Ohio, Virginia, and a lot of stories about guys kicked out of their home congregations because they believe they can conform into the image of the Son of God. Okay? And, you know, Jay's a guy, you know, he says things and you hear it. Maybe you've heard it for 10 years. Maybe you've heard it for 20 years. Maybe you've heard it for 30 years. And you get little glimpses into what he's talking about, and you finally see it yourself. And there is a tremendous value, and sometimes a magnitude that we do not grasp the importance of fully carrying out the preaching of the Word of God and the concepts connected with worship, the new creation. So I really appreciate you for that, bro, unpackaging that and giving it to us in a way that we can understand it and carry out fully the preaching of the Word of God. From Bozeman, Jay Wilson, bring him up with a hand.
Well, I'm really excited to be here tonight. You know, it's so much joy. And, Dan, I'm glad that you guys use this this pulpit. This pulpit was in use long before this building ever came into existence. You know, I used to pound on this thing at the old Fisher Construction Building, you know, back in the early days, and I'm excited to be here tonight, be able to share. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy and righteous Father in heaven, just so grateful for your continued watch care. Appreciate so much the value that you put on one soul, the picture that Jesus would leave the 99 safe sheep for the one sheep that's lost, and that continues to be a driving force for your body. Just bless our time here together tonight. Ask that you give us all safety as we kind of make our way home when we finish up here. But we are grateful for the fact that we can engage in spiritual things and in things that really make an eternal difference in people's lives. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you hear his voice, right? Last summer, Katie was, you know, pressured by family members, and it didn't take too much pressure, to go to Missoula. You know, the congregation in Missoula, they've got a couple softball teams, and they're good. And so they knew they were going to be in the softball championship for whatever city league that they're in. And so, you know, with kids and grandkids and grandkids-in-law, you know, on the ball team, you know, Katie wanted to go. And so she leaves the house early Saturday morning and goes to Missoula. She's there, and early afternoon, or about noon, I think, she's not feeling well, and she tells her son, Mark Miller, that needs to probably head back, see? And she has to stop and Deer Lodge, and then makes it on into Belgrade. And when she walks in, I say, And she says, I think I'll be all right. And I said, no, you won't. You know, you're going to the emergency room because I think you got appendicitis. Okay? And I know I had appendicitis. I was preaching one Lord's Day. I wasn't feeling too good at Bozeman. I went to Great Falls. I was feeling worse. Finished up in Butte. I threw up five times trying to get from Butte back to Bozeman. One of them was on the Cardwell Hill. Not nice. So I finally figured out, yeah, I got appendicitis. Grandson Joe Shanahan, we were at the Lancaster, Ohio rally over Memorial Day weekend. I said, Joe, you got to go to the hospital. So when Katie walked in, got to go to the hospital. Go to the hospital, go to the ER. I tell them, yep, she's got appendicitis. Oh, after a while, the doctor says, yep, she's got appendicitis. They took her directly from the ER to the OR. You know, now hospital talk, that always, okay, emergency room, operating room. Okay, got it. And, you know, I had her home by noon the next day, little afternoon. But on the way back, she said, you know, what a difference one day makes. You know, things are going this way, everything, boom, something hits. What a difference one day makes. And I got to thinking about that. And think back over some of the things in your life. Okay, some of the one days, you know, where everything changed. You know, like the day you got married. Okay, things changed. I remember studying with Davis and Sarah Ashley there in Bozeman before they got married. I was showing them a set of videos, and I got 3 out of the 6 shown to them before they got married. And then after they got married, I went over and finished up the last 3. And I remember Sarah, she was sitting there in a very prim Sarah fashion. And she said to me, you know, Mr. Wilson, when you were showing us those first 3 videos, she said, I didn't think we'd have any of these problems. But she said, you know what? We have. Does that surprise anybody here? See, you know, I think it was old Don DeWalt that said, marriage is the process by which 2 become 1. Problem is which one? And then he said, actually, it's neither one. It's something better than either one. You know, but what that day? See, that was the one day. What a difference one day makes. The day that you got married. Things changed. How about the day that you became parents, you had your first child? Things change around the house? Oh, yeah. You just, you know, it's always interesting talking to, you know, newly married couples or, you know, when she finds out she's pregnant and all the plans they have and what they're going to keep doing. And then here comes the little one, you know, and it's awake from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. See, but it's a blessing. I mean, what a difference one day makes. See, and that one day you still celebrate the birthday, don't you? How about the day of parents' death? See, a lot of times it's said that you don't really become a man until your dad passes. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that, but there's certainly a point there that all of a sudden, you know, maybe sometimes you look to dad for a little advice or wisdom, or maybe just a kick in the seat of the pants or something, and not there. See, what a difference one day makes. How about a spouse's death? I mean, one of the greatest stress levels there is death of a spouse. Okay? How about the day you got kicked out of your parents' house? Okay, what a difference one day makes, right? Anybody ever get kicked out of a parent's house? Yeah, okay, yep. No surprise. You know, I had to kick 1 or 2 of mine out of the house too, you know. You know, move along, you know. You guys are costing money. Grow up, you know. How about the day you got your first job? Yeah, that's quite a change, you know. I mean, some of us got an early start. Some people should have got started earlier. Okay, but what a difference that day made. How about the day you lost a job? Yeah, or quit. Okay, you know, some of the best days I ever had was the day I quit. I walked out of there. You know, but what a difference one day makes. You know. What about the day you bought your first home? You know, the day you got to walk in, go in the backyard, plant your shovel down there in the backyard and dig up a hole just because you can. Okay? See, what a difference one day makes, right? One day. What a difference one day makes. How about the day you got evicted? Okay. Well, it does happen, doesn't it? Yeah. How about the day you guys got to go to your first peaks, first Ben's Peaks? Some of you boys, you know. Some of you dads got to take your boy to his first peaks. What a difference sometimes a one day makes. You know. How about the day this congregation began? See, how many people here remember the day this congregation began? Stacy, she wasn't here, but she'd remember. Yeah. That was over 40 years ago. Think that makes a difference in people's lives? Yeah. See, what a difference. One day. What a difference one day makes. How about some days in history? There's a writer I like. His name is Thomas Coste, and he's British. And I've been slowly educating Katie, you know, on life and things. And you know, I did get her to finally read some Louis L'Amour books, you know. And but now we had to up the game a little bit. So it's Thomas Coste, all right? Yeah, he's a good writer, and a lot of history in his a lot of times. She's reading one right now called Below the Salt. And what it is a history connected with the signing of the Magna Carta. How many of you guys remember what the Magna Carta is? Okay, everybody that studied history years ago. Still, on that day, the British nobility was tired of King John acting like a tyrant. So he woke up one morning and the meadow out there called Runnymede was covered with tents. And the nobility came in to have a little talk with John. And they said, John, we don't mind you being king, but from now on you can't tax us, the nobility, without our nobility's permission. Okay? And we'll let you be king, but don't get too far out of the hand. See, that was a huge moment in history because, see, that started checking the power of the British monarch and set the stage for the eventual development of Parliament and something called no taxation without representation. Of course, how do you like taxation with representation, you know? Okay. How about the night before the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock? Before they stepped off the boat, they drafted and signed the Mayflower Compact. See, the first written constitution. See, and that sets the stage for Americans always having written constitutions. The British had a constitution referred to in the Declaration of Independence. It was unwritten. Well, when you see what they can do with a written constitution, just think what they can do with an unwritten constitution. Mayflower Compact, what did they change history? They didn't know it. How about the signing of the Declaration of Independence? You know, that day. How about the day they ratified the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Did that change history? September 17th, right? You guys all celebrate September 17th. You don't? Well, how about December 25th, 1913, where they passed the Federal Reserve Act? Okay, central bank, fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto. That was a day in history, wasn't it? Changed everything. Not for the better. For the good, not for the good at all. If you don't destroy the Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve Bank is going to destroy you. How do you think that's looking? One day. Point is, one day. Significance of one day. How much can change in one day? One day. How about the day that God said to Abraham, leave your family, leave your relatives, and come to a land that I'll show you. I can just see Abraham saying, where are we going? You know, never mind, just come. What kind of a day was that? Did history change on that day? Did, didn't it? The important history. I mean, Pharaoh in Egypt, he was not impressed that some shepherd guy was coming out of Ur of Chaldees. He wasn't impressed with that. How to look from God's perspective? One day, everything changed. How about the day that Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea? That's a tremendous picture. You know, Pharaoh had select chariots, but he had a lot more not-so-select chariots, and he had horsemen, he had footmen. That's a tremendous army that had Israel pinned against the Red Sea, right? See, I always appreciated God's words to Moses. Speak to my people. Tell them to go forward. Right. But Moses, see, stretched out that hand. I think the hand had a rod in it. And the sea parted, right? Israel crossed on dry ground. And when the Egyptians tried to follow, the walls collapsed on them. And before very long, all the Egyptians' bodies are floating on the surface, right? Significant day. What if it hadn't happened? One day. How about the day that all of Israel came to Hebron to anoint David king? If you don't have an earthly king, don't have an earthly Messiah, you can't have a heavenly Messiah, can you? One day. See? One day. How much hinges on one day? Everything changes. One day. One day it's like this, the next day it's like this. Okay? One day. How about the day that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians? How about the day that Nebuchadnezzar's troops broke the wall down, burnt all the buildings, took away all the gold and silver that they get their paws and bronze that get their paws on? How about that day? A lot changed, didn't it? The Israel was left was the Israel that was scattered. One day, everything changed. How lonely lies the city. Had to lay our harps in the willows, right? How are we in Babylon going to sing the songs of Zion? Thing changed. One day. How about the day that Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, how about the day that they came back from captivity? How about the day that they built an altar and started the morning and the evening sacrifices? Got her going, correct? How about that for an important day? See, one day, things changed again, didn't they? How about the day that Nehemiah got the wall built? How about the day that the first synagogue met? See, it's not recorded that it did. but did. The secular records, we can call them that, indicate that the guys in Babylon said, you know, we know that we're in trouble, and the reason we're in trouble, we haven't been reading the scripture. Pretty apparent that they hadn't been. And so they decided to set up a synagogue. If they could get 10 men, they could form a synagogue. And the purpose of the synagogue was to read the law out loud. How about that one day? How much history changed on that day? See, without the synagogue and being a part of Jewish culture, the Jews would have ceased to exist as a separate people. Without the synagogues and the scriptures being read in the synagogues, the scriptures would have ceased to exist. Today, there's maybe 10,000 plus manuscripts of the Old Testament. Guess what? They're from the synagogues, scattered all over the world. One day, all the important history of the world changed. What about the day Jesus was born? You know, I mean, we know, you know, that it was a silent night, holy night. We know around yon virgin, you know, this light was shining, right? And the shepherds were there. And all the animals in the manger were keeping time by thumping on the floor, right? And the wise men from Persia were there, right? Of course, little bogus history there. But it's a great day when the angel said to the shepherds who are watching over their flocks by night. Now, they don't do that in December. See, we know for sure that Jesus' birth was not December. We know that for sure, okay? Interesting, right? Angel said, today is born for you in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. He says it's good news for all people. Good news for all people. What a day that was. See, the history changed. Okay. What a day. One day. How about the day of Jesus' immersion? The old John the Immerser, he was out there in the wilderness preaching. He was immersing. Looks to me like a lot of his disciples were immersing too. But one day, as you know, Jesus showed up. And John looks at Jesus and he said, I need to be immersed by you, and do you come to me? Jesus said, permit it to be so at this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And so John immersed Jesus, and behold, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove out of heaven, and a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Right? The way the Apostle Peter would describe that later, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. What a day! The way John the Immerser described it a little bit later, he said, I didn't recognize him. I mean, he might have had an idea, but he couldn't officially say. He said, I didn't recognize him, but in order that he might be made manifest to Israel, I came immersing in water. See, what was going to happen when Jesus got immersed was going to be an open declaration to Israel, this is your Messiah. You've only been waiting 1,000 years for him. Okay. What a day. What a one day. John said, I didn't recognize him. But he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I have seen, have borne witness that this is the Son of God. One day, all history changed. One day. How about the day of Jesus' crucifixion? It's always interesting to me, you know. It tells all the things leading up to it, all the things following. Right in the middle it says, and they crucified him. Right? They crucified him. Okay. Animal sacrifices couldn't do it. The writer of Hebrews says, in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. And it's pretty clear the stage was set in the Old Testament. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. John the Immerser set the stage when he pointed Jesus out to the future apostles, John and Andrew. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. World? Sure you don't mean Jews? Okay. Sin of the world, right? How human was Jesus? Was it real anguish that he was experiencing in the Garden of Gethsemane? Where he's praying so hard that his sweat is like drops of blood falling on the ground? Does that sound like a God who just looks like he's human but not experiencing any of it? How about that prayer? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Well, there wasn't any other way, was there? Arrested, brought before the Jewish real high priest, Ananias. Then brought before the Roman-installed high priest, Caiaphas, then sent to Pontius Pilate, then to Herod, back to Pontius Pilate. Finally, Pilate says, bring him out, right? Exi homo. Behold the man. Behold the man. What shall I do with him? You know, the crowds, you know, crucify him. How about if I release a prisoner? No. Jesus, this man. Well, the scripture describe it later. You had him put to death. You used the hands of godless men to put Jesus to death, and you allowed a murderer to go free. And so Pilate gave orders for him to be crucified. Took him outside the city. Led him up the hill. On the place called Golgotha, Latin Calvary, place of the skull. Yep, there they crucified him. What a day. In the morning, see, the orders for crucifixion were given at 6 a.m., sixth hour in the Gospel of John. Crucifixion took place at 9 a.m., ninth hour, Gospel according to Mark. Did I say ninth hour? Okay, third hour, sorry. Third hour, 9 a.m., okay. Good thing I got a good echo chamber here once in a while. I can catch the rebound, okay. 9 a.m., crucified him. Between 9 and noon, everybody's coming by, right? Say, hey, if you're the Christ, the Son of God, come down off the cross, we'll believe you. Look, he saved others. He can't even save himself, right? At noon, it turned dark. And all the mocking stopped. At noon, it turned dark. Dark for 3 hours. That's no eclipse. Solar eclipse, man, lasts 2 to 8 minutes, okay? 3 hours? You know, the song says it pretty well. While well might the sun in darkness not hide, and shut his glory in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in the darkness, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, sometimes, you know, you got to get a little theatrical. Guy's preaching here one time. I talked about how I took the Dale Carnegie course, courtesy Anaconda Company. You know, and so we had to do, I mean, when you pay for things, you know, I had to pay half. So when you pay for things, okay, you're going to get all you can out of it, right? So it made us do things like, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece is white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, there the lamb would go. See, we had to do that. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece is white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, there the lamb would go. See, it made us do things like that. See, you know, it's called getting you on your feet. See, that's why I like it when you guys do meditations. See, get you on your feet. Get you thinking. See, things happen when guys get on their feet. And you guys are good. It's always amazing to me how good a job you guys do, and you haven't been trained. I remember some guy was taking the Dale Carnegie course, and he was pretty upset. He didn't like public speaking. He wasn't good at public speaking. So he came into Carnegie's office. All of a sudden, Carnegie told him, stand up. The guy stood up. Carnegie stood up, came over and punched him in the chest, knocked him back in the chair. And the guy came out of that chair. He put his finger in Carnegie's chest and started talking. Carnegie said, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me you're not a good speaker? He said, look it. You're using perfect gestures. He said, you've got intonation. You got force in your voice. He said, you're a great speaker. See, point is, you just got to have something to speak about, don't you? Get you on your feet. So, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, here's how I think it was. My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me? Sounds a little bit different than my God, why have you forsaken me, doesn't it? What a day. What a day. Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a day. He said, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his spirit, breathed his last, and died. As soon as he died, the sun came out. The violent earthquake, so much it split the rocks. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That's a 30-foot high curtain on there, folks. The way I put it, isn't some guys in the 30-foot ladder of pinking shears up to the top of that, tearing that thing. God tore that from top to bottom. Connection to the death of Jesus. And I can just see that old centurion. I kind of picture him as a grizzled old centurion. You know, participant in many a campaign for the Roman legions. Watching all this and saying, truly. Pagan now. Roman. Truly. This was the Son of God. What a day. What a day. Soldiers came up the hill shortly. to break the bones of those who were hanging on the crosses. Broke the legs of the first thief. Broke the legs of the second, so they died before sundown. They got to Jesus in the middle, already dead, right? So what'd they do? Pierced his side with the spear. Without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness. The Apostle John, who was a close-up eyewitness, put it this way when he talked about how the soldiers pierced his side with the spear and blood and water came out. The way John put it, said, talking about himself, he who has seen has borne witness. And his witness is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth. See, these things came to pass that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken, and again, they shall look on him whom they pierced. What a day! What a difference one day makes. Joseph of Arimathea had the pull power to go talk to Pontius Pilate. Now, if I wanted to go talk to Governor Gianforte, I've never bundled enough campaign contributions to have any access. You know, but somebody that has, hey, Greg, need to talk to you a few minutes. Well, yeah, sure, come on in, right? Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, he had access to Pontius Pilate. Notice how God had everybody placed just right. He's got a rich guy on the Jewish council, the high Sanhedrin, who's got enough pull power to be able to go talk to Pontius Pilate, right? Nothing happens by chance, folks. Old King James Version, happenstance. Nothing. Joseph of Arimathea says, I want the body. Pilate says, done. In the meantime, Nicodemus, another secret disciple, Pharisee, working with Joseph of Arimathea, he and his men bring the spices. Joseph and his men get the body off the cross, get it up to where they're going to bury it. Nicodemus and his men got the 100 pounds worth of spices, by the way. They want that body preserved. So between the two of them, see, they got the body wrapped and placed in Joseph's tomb before the sun sank in the western horizon. What a day! What a difference one day makes. Jesus died and was buried. Jesus died for our sins. And was buried in one day. What a difference one day made. 3 days later, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, right? After a few events, Mary actually saw Jesus standing there. And she thinks he's the gardener, right? She thinks the body's been stolen, somewhere, taken somewhere. And so she says to him, sir, if you buried him, tell us where you laid him. Remember, Jesus turns around and he says, Rabboni. And she recognizes Jesus and she comes up and hugs him. Jesus has to pry her arms off because she's thinking, he's back, you're back. No. He said, I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Okay? Plan isn't finished yet. Not done. So over a period of 40 days, Jesus appeared to the witnesses. People who knew him so well that they could not be confused as to whether or not the same guy crucified was the same guy resurrected. The way Peter put it, he appeared to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Ate and drank with him after he rose. That's a real body there. It's a resurrection body. Isn't aging. Still got the nail hole. Still got the spear wound. But it's a real body. He says, look it. I'm flesh and bones, just like you are. Touch me and see. I was studying with some Baha'is one time in Missoula, and there's a couple branches of the Baha'is. These are the non-political Baha'is. And they don't believe that Jesus was resurrected. They believe that Jesus was reincarnated as Baha'u, who's the founder of Baha'is. Okay. I said, so he wasn't really resurrected then. He just, no. I said, so what did he mean when he said, I'm flesh and bones just as you are. Touch me and see. And they said, oh, that was just a double dog dare. He knew that if he dared them to reach out and touch him, they wouldn't do it. Because if they would have, then they would have found out they would have reached right through him. Okay. So, you know, when people get their minds made up, okay. Jesus was resurrected on the third day. Bodily resurrected. What a day. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, guess who else doesn't get resurrected? Paul said, what are you guys talking about here in Corinth? If there's no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus isn't resurrected. If Jesus isn't resurrected, you're still in your sins. What a difference one day makes. What a difference one day makes. The 40th day, following his resurrection, Jesus led to the apostles to the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. After talking about a few things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud received him out of their sight, right? Two men in white clothing stood beside them, angels, said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who's been taken up from you will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, right? Every eye will see him. Okay. Taken up, ascended. The end, or is it? I had to get that in really quick before you guys all got up and walked out. The big things, the greatest work of Jesus was done from the moment of his ascension onward. The greatest things. When he said it's finished, he's talking about the work he had to do on earth, which was plenty. But you know what? Jesus could have died on the cross and nobody would go to heaven. Jesus could have been bodily resurrected and nobody would go to heaven. See, one of Jesus' first acts as high priest, the way the scripture puts it, having made purification of sin for sins, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus' actions as the high priest. See, I always like to stress this. Look, you can kill the animal over here at the bronze altar. You can catch the blood in the pan on the Day of Atonement. And if you just leave that blood right there, what happens? That priest has to take first the blood of a bull for himself and his own family, and then he has to take the blood of the goat, and he has to take that into the back room of the tabernacle, and he has to sprinkle it. There is no action whatsoever until the high priest sprinkles the blood. So if Jesus dies as the sacrifice on the cross, and there's no priest to offer his blood, what happens? Nothing, nada, zilch. So Jesus has to ascend as the great high priest, he was on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Wrong tribe. So he is a priest by virtue of his ascension, by the power of an indestructible life. What happened that day? High priest declared the great Jehovah God, declared the Christ seated on the heavenly throne. It wasn't David who ascended, but David himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Jesus is declared as the great prophet who speaks from heaven. Jesus is put in place as the great cornerstone of the church of the living God. Jesus takes the power position as the Savior, mighty to save, only from heaven, not on earth. All those forgivenesses that he pronounced would have been inoperative unless he ascended. Mighty to save. Mediator of the covenant, one who died as the testator, but now, by virtue of his ascension, has the power to execute the terms of the covenant. The right arm, the power arm revealed. With a mighty arm, the Apostle Paul said, God led our fathers out of the land of Egypt, right? What was that? Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? New covenant people, that's who. His ascension. What a difference one day makes. What a difference. All history hinged on that day. So much so that the writer of Hebrews would call the day of Jesus' ascension the consummation, the apex, the high point of the ages. What a difference one day makes. But how about the day of your immersion? How about the day that as a person who believed the entire message of the Christ in the Scriptures, that you were willing to repent, to bring your thinking in line with God's thinking, to confess with your mouth Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, to be immersed in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit, to be born again, born from above, buried with Christ in immersion, resurrected to walk in newness of life. What a day, right? What a difference one day makes. What if you'd never done that? Remember the day of my immersion? March 14th, 1971. You know, you're probably surprised I can remember back that far. You know, I have a poor memory. So, what a difference one day makes, right? What a difference one day. Your immersion. Darkness to light, right? Guilty conscience to clear conscience. Saved to sin, free to walk in newness of life. Hell, heaven. Not much difference between hell and heaven, is there? Not much difference? What a difference one day makes. What a difference one day makes. God has fixed a day, said the Apostle Paul, in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead, right? Coming a day of judgment. A day when the saints and the sinners are going to be parted right and left. day when the trumpet blast sounds, all the dead are raised, both the good and the ungood. Receive resurrection body. Those who have done what Jesus called the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who commend evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. What a difference one day makes. What a difference. What a difference. Your immersion made the difference. But there's one other day. One other day that makes a difference. Today, if you hear his voice, today, you must walk with him. Today, make sure you're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today, be sure you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. There's only one day you're ever going to have. Today. What a difference one day makes. Today. Going to make any changes today? Going to do better today? Make deeper commitment today? What are you going to do? If you're doing great, just keep on doing it. But you got to do it what? Today. When the clock strikes midnight, start today. Today. What a difference one day. What a difference today makes. God bless you all. Go get some victories. Thanks.
Thanks, Jay. Really appreciate that. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So it's the fitting way to wrap that up. And to, wow, when you get a chance to kind of look through history and the way that you laid that out and see just these small things, and then once they're expanded exponentially over a long time, man, the change it can make. And I guess my wife did just walk in. You know, I mean, I was just, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but, you know, the winter storms have been really, really been running through the states. And so Mikkel and I, our flight, we got in the nick of time. We got in, the snow started flowing, or started falling. And with the W's, their flight got canceled. So they had to come in a day later, couldn't land into Minneapolis. And so it was a little bumpy coming into Billings. And you know, I mean, I think about, you know, what happens if this plane don't make it home? And, you know, I'm not allowed to really talk about that at the house. So I got to think these thoughts and keep them to myself. But, I mean, that's one event. And just from my own perspective, how greatly that will change the future for my family. Okay, so none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. And but we can do the right things. We can sow to the Spirit. And we can make those changes, like Brother Jay said, today, and over time, man, the amount of people and lives that can be touched is, that's actually, it's something to think about. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord God, we thank you so much that you began with the end in mind. You are a goal-oriented God, that you had the church in mind, those who could be indwelt with the fullness of you. You had that in your mind before you kicked off everything, before you formed the heavens and the earth. And so we thank you that you have laid these things out. And even though you began with the end in mind, you still worked through your plan so that as mankind would be able to come to the knowledge of you and to be in fellowship with you, that it would be by their will, not because we are forced, but that we can choose you, Lord. And along the way, you had brought things about, something as simple as the meaning of someone's name, even to who was on the council and wealthy at that time, also that your plan could be carried out. Even people's entire lives lived so they could serve as allegories, so that those of the faith could look back and really believe. Yep, we've been resurrected. Yep, we walk in newness of life. And yes, we have been seated in the heavenly places. And with that proper perspective in mind, could change the way that a people would glorify you and live their life and touch the lives as many others as possible. So thank you, Lord. You are good, and you have done so much on our behalf, and we're just really grateful that we walk by faith, and we don't have to walk blindly. We have your word and the promises, and so that's great. Thank you so much for today. Pray that we make the most of it. Certainly know that your spirit is glorified by that. Pray that you be with us today as we continue to go out forth, and thank you for the opportunity to have the Wilsons over from Bozeman and for their encouragement. And pray for them as their travels on the way home. Those roads aren't getting any better. And so just pray for that as well. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.